precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed.
Well, what about all of these questions out there regarding Israel? The enemies of Israel would have you to believe that all is vain going on in Israel. I'm here to tell you that all is not vain, that God has everything under control. Now, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and it is deliberate misinformation in order to cause confusion as what the facts really are. If you really want to know what the facts are, you have tuned in to the right station with the right program at the right time. Now, here's a misconception out there. They'll say that Israel may not like him, referring to Asa Arafat, but if peace is to be achieved, they say, they can only reach a deal with the Palestinians' duly elected leader, which currently, at least at the time of this broadcast, is the infamous Asa Arafat. Now, what's the real response? The real response ought to be against this lie and misinformation is that Israel has no desire to choose a leader for the Palestinians. But since the 1993 handshake in the Rose Garden, successive Israeli governments, both Labor and Likud, have been forced to conclude that Arafat is either unwilling or unable to make peace. In fact, despite winning a Nobel Peace Prize, he has stopped every opportunity for peace. At Camp David, Arafat not only spurned Barak's generous offer for a Palestinian state in the West Bank, Gaza, and Jerusalem, but he made no counteroffer whatsoever. Instead, he launched Intifada number 2 as a deliberate attempt to gain further concessions from Israel, such as the return of the 1948 refugees. Both Ehud Barak of Labor and Ariel Sharon of Likud agreed on one thing. Arafat has shown himself more a supporter of terrorism than a reliable peace partner. Okay, lie number two on this broadcast, the lie regarding what's really going on in Israel. They say, how can Israel fault Arafat when it has destroyed many of the Palestinian Authority's police stations and security institutions in reprisal for terrorist attacks? Now, here's the facts, folks. Every Palestinian spokesman recites that line like a mantra. But the facts are that in the first year, listen to this, in the first year and a half of the Intifada number two, when Arafat had all of his police institutions intact, he never arrested a single terrorist leader. That's right. The Palestinian Authority knows the identity of those terrorist leaders, continues to attend joint conferences with them, knows where they live and where they work, yet has never arrested them, put them on trial, or sentenced them for their crimes. When the Palestinian Authority does arrest someone, guess what? The suspect is either let go through a so-called revolving door or treated like royalty. Yeah, he's treated like a king, like a hero, making a sham of the entire process. Then remember when they were perpetrating this great lie and deceit? They said, hey, what happened at the so-called Jenin massacre? Well, I'll tell you what happened at the Jenin so-called massacre. There was not a massacre. It was a lie. The facts are that the PA often exaggerates events. When the Israeli forces went into Jenin in search of terrorist bomb-making factories, the entire leadership of the PA, from Arafat to Saeb Erekat, announced to the world media that Israel had committed genocide and that more than 500 Palestinians had been buried in a mass grave. A subsequent United Nations investigation concluded that no massacre ever took place. That's the facts, folks. Here's another thing they often try to bring up. They say Israeli settlements on the West Bank lead to the creation, or had led to the creation, of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, and constitute the central impediment to peace. They must all be dismantled. That's what the enemies of Israel say. Now, what are the facts? What's the real response? What should it be? The real response should be that the Palestinians keep citing the settlements as an obstacle to peace, but many of those settlements would have been largely dismantled if Arafat had accepted Barak's offer. It is worth remembering that when Arafat first began his terrorist attacks against Israel in 1964, the entire West Bank, notice now, Gaza and the old city Jerusalem, were under Arab control. Now, what do you say about that? Yet, he still attacked Israel. That is especially true of Hamas and the other terrorist groups whose sole objective is the elimination of a Jewish state anywhere in the Middle East. Now, here's another lie being furthered out there among the elite of the world's media and misinformation networks. They always seem to say America's response to the September 11th attacks, unlike Israel's response to suicide bombers, is justified because the U.S. is not occupying someone else's land. They say here that Israel, however, is an occupying force. Well, that is a big lie, because the nation of Israel, the land of Israel, belongs to the Jews. And guess what? Israel's the only democracy in a region dominated by dictatorships and feudal states, and is entitled to the same rights of self-defense and has the same responsibility for the welfare of its citizens as any other country. Facing deliberate attacks against the civilian populations, European countries now criticizing Israel would do exactly the same, and you know that's right. America was attacked by Arab terrorists from Al-Qaeda on September 11th. The U.S. responded by immediately warning the Taliban to give up the terrorists or face the consequences. When they refused, the U.S. attacked Afghanistan by air, sea, and land. Israel has said the same to Arafat: stop the terrorist attacks against our civilians. But Arafat has refused. Worse, his own military units, among them the Al-Aqsa Brigades, have in fact claimed credit for many of those attacks. Now, I've just given you the facts, folks. What are you going to do about it? If you are a Jewish person and you work in the news media spectrum or have any place in government, you ought to rise up in protest against this nonsense. And if you are a leader in any area, you ought to realize that Israel is the apple of God's eye, and it would behoove you to stand for the truth for Israel instead of giving the enemies of God and the enemies of the Bible and the enemies of Israel opportunity to bring railing accusations against the apple of God's eye. And by the way, do you know who is the founder of these railing accusations? You guess it, the devil. Now, you can either help the devil continue to promote falsehood, or you can take a stand for what is right. So remember what the Bible says now, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. If I was you, I'd be real smart about this. I'd be on the side of Israel. To be against Israel is to be against God. God knows how to deal with his chosen people. Leave them alone. Now, I've lived in Israel, and I can testify beyond a shadow of doubt that they are a very humanitarian country based on moral principles. Oh, I know they got their problems, but they have gone out of their way to exercise morality. The facts I represented, I am thankful to the Simon Wiesenthal Center documenting all of this. And of course, this is information can be readily found in those that are in the know about what's going on. And just to prove my point that Israel is a humanitarian country, surgeons at Haifa's Ramban Hospital have carried out complicated heart surgery on the newborn son of a Palestinian policeman from Gaza. The baby was born in a normal delivery, but 3 weeks later, he suffered from shortness of breath, and doctors at a Gaza hospital said he had a serious congenital disformation of the heart. A voluntary Israeli organization, whose name means enlightened to the Gentiles, arranged for the child to be transferred to Rambam Hospital in Haifa. After initial diagnostic tests were carried out, it was discovered that the defect prevented the boy's heart from getting enough oxygen. The complex operation necessary to save the boy's life was carried out by Dr. Yaron Barel and Dr. Victor Gretzman and funded by the voluntary organization Or Lagoyim. The little boy is now making a slow but steady recovery, and his father commented, When I came here, I didn't think about the Intifada. I knew that in Israel, they would help my son. I found wonderful people, and the Jewish nurses take care of us round the clock. Well, what about that? Well, I guarantee you, if the reverse happened, and a Jewish boy was found in some Palestinian hospital, they would have taken his heart out and literally killed him. Now, I realize there are exceptions even among the Palestinians, and I also realize that the Palestinian people are being sold a bill of goods, a bill of lies. And I know that under righteous circumstances, they would do the same. But I'm afraid to say that the proof of the pudding is in the eating. And so far, I haven't seen any indication that the powers to be among the Palestinian governmental officials would do this kind of humanitarian help. And so if you are a Palestinian listening to this broadcast, and I know that many are, you have to understand that this is just one of thousands of examples that Israel, the Jews, are not monsters portrayed in your news media. That they are people that have compassion. And if you give them a chance to demonstrate it, you'll see that they'll help you. But as long as you kick against them and go against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all you're going to get is the curse of God on you. So don't you realize that God is with Israel? You fight against Israel, you fight against God. Just reject all of that propaganda you're being fed by your media in the Palestinian Authority and realize that there is truth out there, and you need to get your head out of the sand and realize that the truth can be found in the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. Since we're talking about moral issues here, legislation has been introduced before the Israeli Parliament, the Knesset, which would require a certain dress code to be adhered to by ladies in Israel. Should the proposal become law, women employed as civil servants, bank tellers, supermarket cashiers, and other occupations where they would have direct contact with the public will be expected to dress modestly and not cause offense to the strictly Orthodox population of Israel. The legislation was introduced by a member of the Shas ultra-Orthodox party and is still at the proposal stage. Well, let me just make a comment about that news item, because I don't think it's a bad idea, actually. You know, one of the things that genders hatred among the Arab states towards America and even the nation of Israel is the fact that we as a country, morally speaking, in our modest or our apparel realm, is so ungodly, it's such a disgrace to our own biblical heritage in this country, it is no wonder that the Muslims and the Arab states accuse us of infidelity, spiritual infidelity. You know, the Bible speaks about the modesty of our women, what they ought to be. And it tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness. That means extreme modesty, folks. And sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. Boy, is that a slap in the face of the American woman today. But the Bible says in verse 10, but which becometh women, notice, professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And so, folks, we've come a long way, baby. Yeah, and it's not been a good way either. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so, instead of provoking Israel to jealousy by being godly, a godly nation, and instead of trying to provoke the Islamic world to recognizing we are a godly nation, we're provoking them to wrath. We're giving them a reason to hate us. Look, we need to return back to the moral principles of the Word of God. But morality is not going to save us. We need to be converted to God Almighty. We need to be converted to His Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah for both the Jews, the Arabs, and the Americans, and everybody. That's right. He died and shed His blood for everybody. Isn't that a blessing? A Bible-believing Christian cannot be a bigot, because the gospel is for all, for Jew and for Gentile. But as a believer in Christ, can I challenge you that if you are a lady, you ought to be dressing godly. That means no pants, no shorts, no tank tops, short sleeves, tight dresses, provocative wardrobe. You know exactly what I'm talking about. We need to be godly examples to the unbeliever, both Jew and Gentile. And if you claim to be a Christian dressing like the world, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, folks. That's right. Now you're saying, well, Dr. Freed, you're legislating righteousness like the Israeli government's trying to do. No, I'm not trying to legislate it. I'm simply striving to teach it from the Bible. And it is up to the government, by the way, to legislate righteousness. That's the government's job. And I have no problem with it whatsoever, as long as it follows the Word of God. Now, when it comes to moral principles of the Bible, these are timeless truths, and they've never changed. I give you an example. Is rape good at any time? No, rape is not good at any time. Rape is obnoxious, wicked, a crime. Rape is a crime, a capital offense. What about murder? Is murder good at any time? No, not at all. The Bible tells us, thou shalt not kill. That's talking about first degree murder. It's not talking about self-defense now. And you know, murder, first degree murder, has always been repugnant in the nostrils of God. What about stealing? What about lying? Listen, the moral backbone of our country has always been based on the Bible. And when we start departing from that, we are departing from being a godly nation. So folks, we need to return back to God. The Bible says a nation that forsakes God shall be turned into hell. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of bringing my family into grocery stores where as you check out, all you see is the pornographic garbage. That's right, the cosmetology and all that stuff. And all these magazines with lewd-looking women, provocative scenes. You know, that's wicked. That's wicked, folks. And I don't want to have to expose my family to that stuff. I mean, you call it what it is, but all it is smut. And we need to protest against it. A few months ago, I went into Publix grocery store And I took some of those magazines into the store manager's office, and I told him, listen, I'm sick and tired of having to have to tell my children to bow their head so they don't have to look at that garbage. And recently I can thank God and commend that particular branch of the Publix that they at least put those magazines inside these cases that you cannot see the picture. So, folks, we can't just be lame ducks and say nothing, you know. We are the salt of the earth, Bible believer. We ought to do something. We ought to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are the salt of the earth. And we need to stand for what is right. If we don't, all that wonderful religious freedom that we enjoy is quickly eroding. Because you are being silent and doing nothing about it. Well, that's all for this segment of the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Now, don't you go away. Don't you dare turn your dial, because the best is yet to come. Now, these news items are courtesy of Zion News International. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad that you've joined us for this last half hour of the broadcast. And I just want to take a moment or two to read some excerpts of some letters that we get around the world from both the Jewish people and Gentiles alike. Now, I will not give the names of these letters because many of these people would be persecuted for simply writing us if they were discovered. But these are encouraging letters that we get, and I would encourage you to write us a letter because that helps us to really understand the far-reaching ministry of the broadcast. Here's a letter from a Jewish fella in Pennsylvania. He said, "Dear Dr. Freed, I happened to hear your broadcast as I was channel hopping on my shortwave radio." And he said, "I would like to receive the free Hebrew English New Testament and the prophecy book offered on your program. Due to the sensitivity of a Jew looking into the Christian faith, I would appreciate it if you would not share my name with anyone else, nor with any other organization." And, dear sir, you can be assured that we honor that. And then he went on to say, "Thank you, and I'll be looking forward to your literature arriving." He ends up the letter with saying, "I'm very favorably disposed toward Christians, but I cannot say that I will come to accept your faith as my own, only that I will keep my mind and my heart open. God bless you, and God bless America. Shalom." Well, thank you so much for writing that letter. That is such an encouragement. Here's another one from Pennsylvania. He said, "Dear Dr. Freed, yesterday I listened to you for the first time, and this is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania." He said, "I've been saved since January of 1982. He said, "I'm on death row." And he said, "On death row, they cannot attend chapel services, Bible studies, prayer, or fellowship groups." He said that he spends 23 hours a day in the cell. He said, "Your radio broadcasts and ministry are vital to me, and I will keep you in my daily prayers. Yours in Messiah Yeshua, his bondservant." Well, thank you so much for that letter, sir. And I want you to know we're praying for you. God will help you in this time. That God will be your special portion. And for that other Jewish person who wrote, I trust and pray that the materials that are sent will be a help to him. Here's a letter that we received from the little country of Bahrain near Kuwait and Saudi Arabia. He said, "Dear sir, I'm a regular listener to your broadcasts and very attentively listen to your programs, which enlighten and nourish our spiritual life. I cannot express how much we thirst for the Word of God and the literature in this part of the world. We would love to have the prophecies of the Messiah. May the Lord bless your ministry and give you the courage to carry on the good news to the nations of the world. Yours in the Lord." Well, thank you so much for that letter. I know that if they would find out about what you're doing, you would no doubt be persecuted. And therefore, I do not mention names. but I sure thank God for these letters. Please write us, because it's so very important to hear, get feedback, and it gives us just, I would say, kind of like a shot of vitamin B12, and it encourages us to go on and lets us know that people are hearing the broadcast, and we get letters from all around the world. Now, we have a special treat for you today. I would like you to stay tuned and buckle your seatbelt now. You're going to hear from a great man of God who is valiant for the faith. Dr. Ronnie Simpson has a message for us today, and it's titled, Till He Comes, and a lot of detail about the Passover and about Jesus being the Messiah. Now, you want to listen to this. If you're Jewish, you definitely must listen to this. It'll give you some real insight on how Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophetic typology of the Passover time.
Hebrews chapter 5, and I'm going to be using other verses, but we'll be telling you where to go from there. But keep your Bible open. I want you to mark your Bible. If I tell you something you hadn't heard before, you ought to write it down in your Bible. And then later on, you'll go back and say, oh, I remember when the preacher preached on that. And it'll trigger a thought. It'll trigger a thought. Hebrews, for sake of time, I'll just read two verses. Hebrews chapter 5. And, of course, you've got a Scofield Bible at the beginning of the chapter. It says, our great high priest. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it said in verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, was strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Let me ask you something. How does God learn anything? But the Bible said, though he were a son, and we know that Jesus was God, he learned, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect. How can God be made perfect? And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Let's go to God in just a moment of prayer. Our Father, as we come tonight, we want to thank you for the privilege of opening up this precious book. I thank you, Lord, for the book of Hebrews that talks about the better things of God. And I'm glad, God, that you saved the best to last for we that are saved by the grace of God. Now, Lord, as we try to bring the message that you've laid upon our hearts, help us tonight, God, as we try to preach and to deliver the message in clarity and simplicity that even a little six-year-old child may be able to understand. I pray for those that may be lost here tonight, for those that are backslid, for those that need encouragement. I pray tonight, God, we know the Word of God always satisfies and always supplies the need of our heart. I pray tonight, God, have your way. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I heard a black preacher say this one time, that he wasn't a helicopter preacher. He was a 747. And what he meant by that is that he couldn't just take off real fast, but it took him a long time to get off the runway. But after a while, he'd get up in the air. So I want you to have patience with me tonight, and let's go down the runway for a little bit, and maybe after a while, we'll take off and we'll get up in the air. But I was preaching several weeks ago on the blood of sprinkling. And while I was studying that, I come across this statement, how that Jesus learned obedience and how that he was being made perfect. And when we begin to look at verse 7, 8, and 9, it's dealing with the Garden of Gethsemane when the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says he was praying. Now, the Bible tells us that he is our high priest. Now, to be our high priest, in verses 5 and 6, he has to meet qualifications. In verses 5 and 6, he had to be appointed. In verse number 2, he had to be acquainted with the people. That's why he took upon himself human flesh. He wanted to be acquainted. He wanted to be tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Then in verse number 1, he had to accomplish the sacrifice. And Jesus met all the qualifications of a great high priest. But Jesus was different than any other high priest in two very important ways. Number one, every high priest except Jesus had to sacrifice an offering for himself before he could sacrifice an offering for the people, because he was sinful. But Jesus did not offer a sacrifice for himself. What's that teaching us? That he was a sinless, immaculate, a Son of God. Then notice something else. His sacrifice was not every year or every week, but his sacrifice was once and for all. It did not have to be repeated every day. It did not have to be repeated every week. It did not have to be repeated every year. But he entered in once to obtain eternal redemption for us. So the Bible tells us he does meet the qualifications of the great high priest. Now here in verse number 7, it gives us a hint at the deity of the Son of God. Bible said in verse 7, who in the days of his flesh. In the days of his flesh. Now when it said the days of his flesh, that would insinuate that there were days before he became flesh. It also declares that he has days after he became flesh. Well, you say, what is that? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. There was a period of 33 years that he became the incarnate Son of God. But can I say something? He didn't become God at his baptism, and he didn't cease to become God at his death. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was deity. Now, there were two prayers that were answered in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's look at, first of all, here in Hebrews chapter 5, and verse 7 and 9, we see his sacrifice. There, this is a reference to Gethsemane. Now, if we read in verse number 7, we see a statement there that tells us that Jesus Christ probably almost died in the Garden of Gethsemane. He came as close to dying in the Garden of Gethsemane as a man could die. The Bible says here, it talks about his sufferings in verse 7 through 9. Notice what it said. It said when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. Now the Bible said he cried and he prayed and he wept. Now according to Matthew 26, verse 36, verse 42, and verse 44, that he prayed three times. He prayed three times. Hey, he went in and prayed, went back to see his disciples, came back in and prayed a second time, went back out to see his disciples, and came back and prayed three times. And every time that he prayed, he made this statement, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will." Now, why did Jesus go in three times? Because every time he went in, you see that he went through more suffering. Because what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing was that he was wrestling and to show what intensity sin can do to our lives. Sin has three things to it. Sin has shame. Then after shame comes guilt. Then after guilt comes despair. And that's the three depths that Jesus went into in the Garden of Gethsemane. The first time he went in, he experienced our shame. The second time he went in, he experienced our guilt. The third time he went in, he experienced our despair. Did you know nobody will ever get saved until they get shamed of their sin, until they get guilty of their sin, and then in despair get to the place they have nowhere else to turn to, and they have to call upon Almighty God. Oh, I'm glad he was the perfect sacrifice. I'm glad he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God unto him. Now, the Bible said he went in there. And the Bible said he prayed, "Oh God." He said here in this verse of Scripture that he prayed with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. The Bible said in Hebrews that he prayed that God would save him from death. Now, we know the Lord Jesus Christ was not afraid of dying. And we know that Jesus was not in question about why he came into this world. Bible said he set his face to go like a flint to go to Jerusalem. In fact, there is scripture after scripture that tells us that he was going to the cross. So this verse does not teach that Jesus was asked to be spared from dying. No, not in 1,000 years. But that word there, that he was able to save him from death, that word from, if you'll underline it, that means to be saved out of death. Now what Jesus was praying for, he said, God, don't let me die in Gethsemane. God, don't let me die on the way to Calvary. He said, God, don't let me die until I paid the sin debt, and then I'm going to die and be buried. But he said, God, don't leave me in that grave. That caused me to come out on resurrection morning. He said, God, save me out from death. Amen. Now, that's altogether different. You see, what Jesus was fearing is that he might die too soon. And Jesus weren't supposed to die in Gethsemane for the sins of a man. But cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. And he had to save us through the shedding of his blood on a cursed cross on Mount Calvary. So what Jesus was saying is, don't let me die in Gethsemane, but let me go to the cross and let me pay the complete sin debt. And when sin debt has been completed, he said, let me die, but don't leave my bones in the grave. Amen? So Jesus was praying, and God answered his prayer. Now the Bible says here in Hebrews 5:7 that he was heard in that he feared. He was heard in that he feared. The word fear means to be in awe. It means to be confident and be just overwhelmed with confidence that who he was praying to was going to hear his prayer and take him away from that. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ knew how weak his human body was. But at the same time he knew about his weak body, he also knew that there was a God that he could depend upon. Amen? Oh, yes. And the Bible said in verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. How can God learn? Well, you see, God knew all about a Calvary from eternity past. And what he had always known in his omniscience. God knows everything. So Calvary didn't slip up on Jesus. And it was not a mistake. But what he knew in his omniscience, he had to learn on the earth by experience. God had never been nailed to a cross. God had never been smitten in the face. God had never been whipped. And God had never had... Jesus had never had the God to turn his back on him. And so the Lord had to learn by experience. It's just like this. You can read about... pain that comes from being burned, and you can study it, and you can hear about it. But when you've been burned, there's something that you learn by being burned that you can't get out of a book, or you can't get from hearing. And even though God knew in His omniscience about Calvary, Jesus had to learn by experience by going through. And guess what He did? He went through everything that you and I would have gone through, and you know what He did? He won. Amen. I mean, he went through every bit of shame. He went through every bit of the guilt. He went through every bit of the despair. In fact, the Bible says, some of that don't have time to read it, but the Bible said in Psalm 107 that when a sinner gets to his wit's end, that he'll call upon God. Now, what Jesus was doing was being the substitute for the sinner, and he received the sins of the whole world upon him so much that Jesus came to the end of the sinner and cried out unto God. Well, isn't that what a sinner's got to do? A sinner's got to come to the end of himself. A sinner's got to get shamed. A sinner's got to get guilty. A sinner's got to get to the place that he gets in despair. But just like Jesus, when Jesus cried unto God to not let him die in Gethsemane, the sinner, when he gets to his wit's end, cries unto God, and God takes him out from death, hell, and the grave, and seals him unto the day of redemption. Amen. And the Bible says here in Hebrews 5:9, that being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, the Bible said he was made perfect. Now, I just say something right now. He never was imperfect. Well, he never was imperfect. There was never a time that he was imperfect. But you look at it like this. A rose bush is always a rose bush. But in the springtime, That you can't say it's complete until the roses come out. Well, Jesus was always God. But when He went to Calvary, He completed everything that He came to do. He died for sinners. He was raised from the dead. He opened up the way to anybody could come to Him. And the rose of Sharon blossomed there at Calvary. It was made perfect in our redemption. Amen? I can't fathom all that. But I'm glad to say He did it all. I'm glad you don't have to add a thing to it. I'm glad there's nothing else that has to be done. That everything was done. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered our sin for us. He learned obedience. It was made perfect that we could be saved by the grace of God. He went all the way. Now, the Bible tells us about His sacrifice. But what I want to get into tonight is His steadfastness.
Well, that's all we have for today in this particular broadcast. And we want to invite you to come back and continue to hear this great message by Dr. Ronnie Simpson till he comes. Well, we sure thank God for each listener today. And we hope that you'll take to heart the words of life. That's right, the words of life. Because it's the words of life. Jesus said, Yeshua Mashiach, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me.
With all of their hearts, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heavens.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself. and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. My earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.